Brass Tax, good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Am I with you?
You are.
Okay, good morning. It's always nice to hear you. You have a wonderful job, you know, the opportunity to learn so much from people and also to disseminate your wealth of knowledge. But I heard you mention something about the Primate Research Center. Did I hear you mention something about that?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
And you were in reference to the monkeys?
Yes, they were using monkeys for the testing for vaccines. I think the polio vaccine was one I remember that they'd used it for.
Just a little before I go on to my main subject, primates really also include us all.
I know, people. Yeah, I know.
Sorry, just mentioned
I know.
That.
Because yeah, we are included in the primate circle. Yes, sir.
Yes. Now, what I want to go on to this question of food security and the same monkeys. I noticed something that has been pushed under the carpet, but as far as I know, the monkeys do not practice birth control, and there is a definite reason to believe. There's some reason to believe that if we're not careful, one day we'll wake up and we'll have maybe two monkeys who are every human being on this island of ours. And that will present a big problem. Right now, it is a big problem. Most farmers will tell you. And most farmers will tell you, well, what is the government doing about it? Maybe we should ask them one of these days. Because it's something that we cannot really and truly have food security when we have a monkey population that is out of control. The other question here, the problem that is looming and it is not getting the attention it should be, really. Now, we have the virus, and all our attention is focused on the virus, quite for some reason. But the other crisis that is going to hit us, if we do not prepare for it, is the aftermath of the coronavirus. So therefore, we have to do what the Americans say and what Mr. Biden says he's doing, walk and chew gum at the same time. In other words, multitask. We have to be looking right now at what we're going to do to build back our economy. Therefore, there's short-term planning and there is longer-term planning that has to be looked at. So these are things I believe should be put on your table sometime when you're having your discussions on this program. I had the opportunity last Sunday to speak to Dr. Greenidge, and unfortunately I didn't get a chance to come back to reboot some of the things that he said. He's a very good economist, true enough, but we need more than economists here. We need entrepreneurs. We need even the common man out there who has to suffer on a daily basis to bring some ideas to the table, so that this country will continue to go forward after we've got over this problem with the coronavirus.
Okay,
any comments from your side?
Sir, I think the issue of restarting the country's economy, getting us back up to productive levels and getting employment levels up, adequately, I think, addressed this morning in The Nation with responses from Ed Clark, Ms. Tricia Tanis, and others who have made comments before. The whole question of the government's projects, getting them started, getting the private sector involved. The problem, people who follow the United States and Britain and Canada more than they follow Barbados may have perhaps seen or read about the issues confronting Texas, where Texas had this freeze and their utilities shut down and people's light bills jumped from $100 to $20,000 and $15,000 and $8,000 because it was unregulated and it was just capitalism at its best. When you ask the private sector to engage in projects that would generate employment and generate taxes for you, governments have to be very careful how much they give and how much they get back, and how you measure what you give and what you get. In the Caribbean, because of this question of campaign financing, there is always the suspicion that those who get more than they give. And especially in tourism, where over the years, We have questioned how much of the foreign exchange generated in the tourism industry is actually in Barbados and spent in Barbados. You get different responses depending on who you speak to. People who run hotels will tell you, we bring in money, we have to pay staff, we have to pay utilities, we have a water bill, we have to pay VAT. And then you hear, but they didn't pay in the VAT, they didn't do this, they didn't do that, they're too big to fail, they got government in their pocket, they're doing what they feel like. So you get these conflicting information that gives us an us versus them, as opposed to, what's the phrase we keep using now, we in this together? The other thing is this, when you have the small entrepreneur, that word that you used, that we're using regularly. If you look at it, the only small business I know in Barbados that has challenged big business and seemingly won is the used car business. They got the big garages crying out and going to import used cars to combat them. All the others have been consumed and overrun by the big business. So people open bread and breakfast, small hotels, and big hotels buy them up and squeeze them out. Almost every sector. Somebody tell me coconut men too. I tell them no. Coconut men are fronts for people who got coconut plantations, unless they're thieving. And I don't think they are. Okay? So the only sector I know that drove the big business to react is the used car business. The only one. The others were overrun by big business. You have hotels in Barbados that have been bought out by larger hotel chains across the world. Some of them have made a mess, gone away, and are coming back. We are at the mercy of them. And sir, I hear about the entrepreneurship, but the minute you have rampant capitalism, if you want me to call it that, where the strongest survive and the weakest fail, we will always find that our small manufacturers or small producers will find themselves at the mercy of the bigger operations. Because if a large supermarket can buy 50,000 heads of lettuce or, 20,000 chickens, they will undercut the man who's selling, 5 and 10 unless he has a guaranteed market for the 5 and 10. He is going to be squeezed.
Let's introduce the element of change which has not been addressed adequately in last Sunday's program, because I spoke about, I think I began by saying tourism. Mm-hmm. That market has changed dramatically. Everybody's getting to it, and little by being gradually squeezed out.
Just totally largest survive. Yeah.
So therefore, I heard the gentleman saying, well, there's not, in effect, there's nothing else, so we have to keep it with this.
Now, that's not what he said, sir, and I really want to say that's not what he said. What he said, and this is something we must get clear, until we have something that is viable to replace our foreign exchange earnings in the magnitude of tourism, we have to keep it sustained. We got to take a break for the regional roundup. That's why I had to cut in over you. Sorry I had to do that, but that's the only way I can get this to transition smoothly so that John can take control. This is Down to Brass Tacks. 4341-790-266-4862. One is the call number, the other is the WhatsApp number, where you send a message, you don't call. And no matter how many times I say that, I still see video calls and audio calls. I'm saying that to respond to a WhatsApp message that I got that says, can you kindly confirm for me the floor cell number for the seniors to call? I am dialing 233-8222. I'm getting a recording. The message I was asked to craft and record for the vaccination, I was told to repeat WhatsApp messages only, not calls. And I tried to say so clearly in the message that I recorded. And I've listened to the others while being the producer, and I've seen that the one with Eric has tagged my comment at the one that I did at the end. So those numbers are for messages only. So if you call them, I don't think you will get a response. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr.
Yes, sir. You were saying, we were having this chat, and you were telling me, yes.
I'm
when I had to run.
For you. Yeah, I'm grateful for you to allow me to stay on the line.
It's good to be back.
Because I must say that you're very precise in what you say. What you did say about Dr. Greenwich, yeah, that was perfectly right. What I had essentially said, that tourism, yes, we have been dealing with that for years. Tourism has changed, and we have not really, really changed our way we do it. We look at figures. X number of people came in, and we don't try to determine what did these people bring with them? Right. How have we benefited? Mm-hmm. Did we have to use back this money to rebuild the infrastructure that they had damaged? Correct. Things like that. Okay, so I was saying that we have to look for alternatives, but change and change management is something that does not come easy, and most people shy away from it. I am one of those people, Mr. Dennis, that firmly believe that we have a bright future in alternative energy. And I don't mean putting up
solar panels
over good agricultural land. I feel, think you saw what happened in Texas. We cannot go that route. We can have several units, maybe about 11 units, field units, that we can have these centers for generating our electricity and try to use all, maybe 80% of our rooftops for this purpose. I think this is what we need to do. But then, having said that, prepare yourself for it. You have every young man who goes to do a course in electricity to become an electrician should have some exposure, in my view, to installation of an electrical panels and the inverters and so on. It is something that can be done very easy. So those are things we have to prepare for ourselves. The other matter...
Before you move off of that, let me ask you this, though. You said if you should not do it over agricultural land, can I ask you where we should do it? Because unfortunately, to get it to be able to generate the type of income you may want, how much space do you need and how do you access it?
Mr. From my knowledge, this is knowledge built up over, from the mid-60s. Mm-hmm. A rooftop... 1 square meter of roof generates 1 kilowatt of electricity. Currently, we have got, in the old days, you got about 2% of that electricity, of that energy coming from the sun, being converted to electricity. Right now, we're up to about 20%.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. So we've got to a stage now, and it's increasing, so that soon we may be up to 30 or 40% conversion.
Okay.
But what I'm saying, we have each rooftop, even on the smallest house in Barbados, can generate more electricity than
right.
it can
Here's the thing. If, therefore, the Barbados Light and Power Company, Emera, the company that has the permission, if you want to use that, to generate electricity for the entire island, if their plan is to become transmission unit rather than generation unit, it would therefore mean that you would have to devise a policy that says all the available rooftops in Barbados, once they can hold a panel, should have one. This is how we will get them to own one. This is how it would generate income for the house that's on. This is how much it would contribute to the grid, how much it would contribute to personal use, and this is a sustainable source of income for the smallest to the largest. And how do you control it so that a large, conglomerate does not overpower the market to the point where the small consumer is pressurized because they can say, okay, we could pay a company that has, 50,000 square feet of rooftop. We could pay them 10 cents per kilowatt hour. So therefore the man with the small house, we are paying 10 cents too, whether that's economical fame or not. Those are the things that we have to look at going forward and how we manage that type of change that you're talking about. Because I see how it could be done. I'm just trying to work on the method. Because I've also heard from, again, conversation with the good folk at the Barbados Light and Power Company. I really do like them because they do engage us, the dull and the ignorant, from time to time to ask questions. And I applaud them for that. The electric cars that we bring into Barbados, if the house is properly wired, your car can generate power for your house if electricity goes off. But it has to be, it has to be properly wired and managed. My fear, sir, and I'm supporting you in the call for the education of our young people in electrical wiring. I am suspicious of the number of house fires we have in the middle of the night and various times when nobody's home, because I assume, and I may be wrong, and I hope that I am, that there are some that are electrical faults, from faulty wiring, plugs left in, charging nothing, and faulty extension cords being used to replace sound wiring. So in other words, because we have 9 houses close together, or 12 people renting a room, we run cables across to give people electrical power and various other things. Yes,
Mr.
sir.
Dennis, there was a man called Orville Wright. He had a brother called Wilbur.
Yeah, the fellows who invented airplanes.
Yeah, became a celebrity in the aviation field. But he said that aviation would never be a factor in transportation because the unreliability of the engines was such that you would require airfields at every 8 miles. And those airfields would have to be 1 mile square. In other words, 1 by 1 square, put it out there. That had never been the fact. We developed systems. We had organizations like the NTSB, the CAA in Britain, all those things, and you had policing of this thing. What I'm trying to say, if the big company wants to continue, they can decentralize. Let's say we have 11 parishes, so they can set up several 11 or maybe 10 or 8 or whatever subsidiary units where they can have auxiliary supplies, just a small supply in case something goes wrong, and then they would monitor every installation that comes in here. They can monitor or have the governmental authority monitoring it. You wouldn't just, knowing the problem, you wouldn't just leave it open like that. The same thing has happened with the aviation industry, and it just needs someone who says that it can be done. Mm-hmm. How can we get this
How
done?
We can get it done. Yep.
That is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Now, the other matter about the cars, I am also saying, and this can be implemented right away. Mm-hmm. Let's say Company X brings in $3 million in motor cars a year. And we are working towards a goal because, let's say, I'm telling you this, the Land Rover people and the Volkswagen people very soon will not be making fossil fuel cars. So don't wait till it happens, and then we find ourselves with all these little mechanics around the place with these cars trying to keep them together and can't get parts. So we can say something like this. Okay, year 2021, 10% of your imports have to be electric vehicles. Okay? Next year, another 10 or 15%, so that you can phase those things out whilst you're training your people. But you must start somewhere, otherwise you will be caught up, just like we've been caught up in the tourism industry. So I'm just putting these things on the table. I know it sounds a little bit revolutionary, but we have to be looking and keeping ahead of the game. So this is what I'm saying.
So I have to tell you that I support your call for a number of reasons. And one of the reasons I support your call is this. Too often we in the Caribbean spend a lot of time focusing on the things we can't do. And we wait on countries that don't have our natural resources, the ones that we don't pay for, sunlight, rivers, waterfalls, to develop things for us to use to extract those natural resources. And when we do that, we hand our natural resource to someone who does not have our interest at heart. So you would find, for example, that the oil industry in Trinidad is developed by large oil companies not based in Trinidad. So when the refinery there becomes old and the equipment they use is not up to date, it's more economical to shut it down, as we did with Mobil here in Barbados, and import. And if you have local entities that want to manage it, you ask them, how much foreign exchange are you going to bring? Who's financing this deal? Are you doing it with drug money? Where's the expertise to run it? When we have been doing it for years, our expertise. My daughter was trained by Mobil. She's not in the oil industry now, but she was trained by Mobil.
Right.
Sent overseas, studied, and came back. We have BNOC, we have BNTCL. But Mobil is not here. What she wanted to do was be in the refinery business, not sitting down in an office playing with a computer because she's female. She has some of her father's madness. But my point is this. If we have sun in Barbados, if we know how hot it gets because we sit down in this house and we heat is killing us, so we want to go outside and sit down to cool out, whether you got COVID or not, because we can't stay inside hot. And we're using fans and air conditioned units that we're importing from overseas and paying down on because it's hot. Well, why don't we use that heat to generate the electricity we need to run the fan? So I agree with you. We have to, the same way we developed solar water heaters in Barbados. Good afternoon, James Husbands and Father Hatch and, you know, Tully and the rest of the people who worked on that project and the folks on the other end of the solar thing. If we don't do that, right, we have the capacity here. Why don't we start ensuring that our people can be on the cutting edge and we develop it and export it to the people overseas? There is intellectual property that we are allowing to go to waste while paying other people for their intellectual property, sir. And that's another area of income generation for Barbados that we are not using. And it is annoying, sir, that we are allowing these opportunities to go to waste. So I'm supporting you fully in your call. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Hello. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey. Ma'am, the background noise is overpowering me and you. So let's try this again. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good. Are we on the same wavelength now? Let's talk.
Okay. I am calling to get some clarity on bread vans being on the road. Because the last time I heard the Attorney General spoke about that, he said that he's going to take a look into it and then he would come back and let us know what's going on. I own a small bakery, a family-owned business, and one of my vans was on the road yesterday and the van was pulled off. He was taken to District A for a lengthy period of time and then they said to him that bread vans were taken off the road. But we said we only heard the insert on the radio saying that the Attorney General will look into it. He would get back to us. We heard nothing else since then. That was on the 4th of February, right? I called the Attorney General whole morning, and I'm not getting through. So I said I will call Dr. Brastas because I know you guys get things done and see if someone could call in or if you can give me some kind of clarity on exactly what's going on.
Ma'am, I said before, and I'll say it again, unfortunately, we can't give you clarity on it. I know people keep calling the radio station and saying you get answers, you have clarity. We can't. We listen to the same reports that you listen to. We carry them live on air for that reason. We carry sometimes the question and answers. Sometimes we come back to our regular programming and you can follow them on Facebook. You can go on YouTube and they're recorded there. You can listen back to it. That's about as clear as it is to us as it is to you. Until such time as the lockdown is lifted, those services that people are requesting, whether it is bread vans on the road or companies opening to give people ink for their printers or paper for their computers or services to repair their tires, if those are not included in the list and you do not want to have people gathering without masks or without social or distancing, then those services cannot be provided. The only thing I heard, and that's from because I was monitoring, was the opening of mini-marts along with supermarkets. And again, I do not recall whether that extended to the convenience shops at service stations and village marts, etc. There were special lists of those as well. But I cannot tell you anything further than what you would have heard yourself. And if the newscast said the AG was looking into it, more than likely it's because somebody asked him. I do not and cannot give you a number that you can call because I don't have one. And I'm sorry. But you've asked the question. I know it is said that the program is monitored. And I am sure if the COVID unit or the Office of the Attorney General or someone who's advised to respond will do so, then we'll pass that information on to you. From time to time, we do get messages from various agencies, NIS, Ministry of Agriculture, or even the COVID unit. We got yesterday a response from them as well. So we'll see if we get one in response to that. I was told there was no vending allowed. That's wayside vending, people selling produce by the side of the road, vegetables, etc. I know there was a story of a lady along Culloden Road that was shut down because they were carrying out packages to cars waiting outside on the road. And they were cautioned too about even doing that. So I'll wait to hear if I hear anything further. The Ministry of Agriculture and the Ministry of the Environment preparing to meet on Friday to work out a final approach to the monkey population. There are already measures to be rolled out between the two ministries, and this will be further decided on when they meet on Friday, and that's from the Minister of Agriculture. For those monitoring the situation with the monkey population, there's a note from the minister on what's going to happen. There'll be a meeting on Friday, so we'll stand by to hear further on the issue of our growing monkey population. Brass Dax, good afternoon. Hello.
Jonathan.
Hi.
I would like to make one point as far as the supermarkets are concerned.
And that is?
I am of the view that the supermarket should be open and reopen in full 7 days a week as to reduce those crowds at the supermarket all day, every day. Because if the supermarkets producing at half mass, that will help cause the spread of the virus. That's my point.
Sir, the response from, I don't remember who it was, I think it was a doctor on the who was having a conversation with one of our moderators, is that there's been no spread attributed to persons lining up outside supermarkets as yet. But I have my own personal feeling about lining up outside of supermarkets. It's the fear of lockdown, the fear of not having enough, and the way in which we are paid and how we spend, again, as I said, our routine. When we were locked down on Saturday and Sunday, Monday, which is my off day, or I should say the day I don't work at Starcom, because I work at home on that day, I left home at 7:30, and I purposely checked a couple of supermarkets to see what would happen after the two-day lockdown. There was a line outside Big B supermarket that the Shopee line went around one side of the building. The supermarket line went around the other side of the building as early as 7:30. Sky Mall lines outside the car park looked like Bushy Park on a race day. Warren's, same thing. The line wrapped around the building past the food store and going right around the building. Again, the car park filled. Since I was on the highway, I decided, okay, let me go to Whole Town. So I journeyed down to Whole Town, and there were only 10 cars in the car park there. But as I started to leave, the line of cars started coming in. So I'm sure that they too built up over a period of time. I agree with you. Shutdown, open is causing people to flock to supermarkets at odd times in a pattern that they've not accustomed doing it. And then, in the case of, I was told of one supermarket close to us here, even if there was not a line outside, there then was a line inside because on the particular day they were opened, they only had 4 cashiers operating. And therefore, the line was generated inside. Now, what I cannot say, sir, is that it is causing community spread. But what I can tell you is that it does not look safe. So I hear your plea. Brass Dax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I am all right, sir.
Good. Hope you're keeping well and everybody's safe.